الحمد لله، أحمده سبحانه وتعالى وأشكره وأتوب إليه وأستغفره وأسأله المزيد من الرحمة كما أسأله المزيد من المغفرة، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، هو الحي القيوم، هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن، وهو بكل شيء عليم. وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله رحمة الله للعالمين، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah. I bear witness that there is no deity but Allah. He has power and control over everything. He is the first, He is the last. He is the everlasting, ever-living. And I bear witness that our beloved Prophet Muhammad is his servant and messenger. May Allah have his peace, mercy, and blessings on him, his family, his companions, and his followers until the Day of Judgment. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we are blessed to have the Quran. It is the divine light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that penetrates our hearts to lead us to the straight path of Allah, to guide us for success in this life and salvation in the hereafter. And if we open a window in our hearts to receive a glimpse of that divine light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Holy Quran, we can listen and hear from Surah Al-Hajj verses that say, فَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَلَهُ أَسْلِمُوا وَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُمْ والمقيم الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this beautiful verse has a complete structure for the Muslim to abide with and live with. And it addresses four characters of those who are mukhbitin. The mukhbitin, mukhbit, ikhbat, are extracted from the word dakhabata, which is an Arabic word, three letters, very seldom used in Arabic language and mentioned in the Quran few times with its extracts. But it has a deep meaning in understanding those mukhbitin. I will try to give the gist of the ayat that I recited, and then we talk about the mukhbitin. The translation may be, your God is one, no deity but Him. Submit then yourselves, your will to Him, and give the glad tidings to those who are mukhbit. We may say humble, those who are totally, comfortably, and lovingly submitted to the will of God. Those whose hearts vibrates and trembles with reverence and awe whenever God is mentioned, and those who are patiently bear whatever ill befalls them who are constant in prayer and spend in charity out of what we have bestowed on them. This is the gist of the translation of this verse. The mukhbitin are those who totally, contentedly, comfortably, and lovingly submitted themselves and their wills to God. They accepted whatever comes from Allah to them, whether it is hard time or good time, they are willingly accepting the will of God. In health, sickness, they always accept things with grace and comfort. When they need a thing, they ask Him, and when they cry to Him. They have their trust, absolute trust in Him. They trust whatever in His hands more than whatever in their own hands. They trust His compassion, mercy, and justice. They are totally in peace and tranquility, knowing that nothing would touch them without His will or without His leave. And you will find the four characters of those people mentioned in the verse. Number one, الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Those when Allah is mentioned in any form or shape in front of them, their hearts tremble and shake. They respond to that, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To anything that's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they respond. All of us as human beings, we have something that is stimulating us sometimes, and we respond to it with hate, with love, with different feelings. Some people, when we mention money in front of them, the green paper, their heart trembles. They jump for that opportunity. When we mention something about music, piece of good classical music, some hearts jump for that. I'm not condemning that or condemning this, but hearts respond to whatever is stimulated. Those people who are stimulated by the name of God, by the remembrance of God, they are those people who only and strongly respond to God when His name is mentioned. Whatever God comes in mention, then they are in attention. They are all ears, putting all their attention to what is coming from God. My dear brothers and sisters, Islam, when we talk about those who respond to the mention of the name of Allah or anything coming from Him, we are actually talking about those who believe blindly in God. God is part of their structure, inbuilt in them. They love God, they revere God, they obey God, they submitted their will totally to God. Those are the mukhbitin. And the second character in those people is patience with perseverance. Patience is one of the attributes of God, as-sabur. He is absolute in patience. His patience is demonstrated on the human beings. With all their sins and disobedience, He's still patient. He is still tolerant to them, forbearing what they do. He has the absolute patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those mukhbitin have a touch of that patience, of the divine attribute of God. They are immune from despair at any time and at any circumstances. They have full trust in God. They believe that God is in full control of everything and that He is putting them in a test in this life on this planet Earth, and the test may be sometimes with hardship. As Allah said in the Holy Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. The translation is, certainly we will test you with something of fear and hunger and some loss in monies and lives and produce, but give glad tidings to those who patiently persevere, who say when afflicted with calamity, to God we belong and to Him is our final return. And those mukhbiteen will never feel despair or lose their trust in God and His absolute control. Nothing would happen without His will or without His leave. And they believe in that thoroughly, and nothing will touch them without the will of God. And they know He is so kind, absolutely compassionate, absolutely merciful. They know that He is absolutely just. And they are in the best hands. They are in the tender hands of God. And that gives them tranquility and peace in their hearts. They believe in what Allah says, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Say, nothing will happen to us except what Allah has decreed and written upon us. He is our protector and guardian, and on Allah let the believers put their trust. My dear brethren in Islam, patience and perseverance without despair is the character of those people. And always have complete trust in God and His absolute attributes of knowledge, compassion, power, wisdom, and etc. And they know and believe in His tender care. They believe that this life is short and it is not everything, but just a testing phase, very short testing phase for a life after. They know that their ultimate return is to God when they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I have witnessed my brothers and sisters in the last couple of months, during Ramadan also, some great examples of that faith, of that kind of people, mukhbiteen, faith in God and believing in Him within our community. A young woman standing by her husband in a hopeless case of sickness, as stated by the doctors. But the young woman never lost her hope or faith in God and His power to heal and cure her husband. I heard her myself putting all her trust in God in many beautiful words, that God has always the final word. Finally, after waiting some time, God responded to her sincere prayers and supplications with tears shedding from her eyes, and with His compassionate decree returned her husband to her healed and healthy. May the Almighty bless her and her family and her husband. I have witnessed another case of a great example for patience and perseverance and submission to the will of God. A very dear and activist brother in our community also is facing a serious disease. He is in bed most of the time under medical attention and care. You think that stopped him from thinking about the affairs of the community? Never did. He's always thinking about his activities, his work in the community, asking about it. And even between his hard breathing, at some times he discusses the affairs of the community and his activities in it, and has sometimes meeting around his bed. No complaints, but patience and perseverance, with a beautiful smile of faith and full submission to the will of God. May God bless him also, and his family, and his wife, who is standing by him in support with patience and perseverance, and with full trust in God. No one of us, my dear brothers and sisters, is free from test, hardship sometimes. Look around. We have sometimes disease in our family, ourselves, hardship of many kinds. We cry to God. We make supplications all the time to heal and help. We always in need of him. When we have that in our hearts, we feel some peace and tranquility. When we believe that he has the absolute control and he's the one who can give, we put our trust more and more in him. That's part of our faith. We have sicknesses, death, sometimes failure in a job, losing money, fear from aggression or discrimination. At such points of strain and distress, we hold to our faith in God, and we pray and call upon him, seeking his support, and ask him to ease the situation. Hardship is the essence of our life on this earthly life, on this planet Earth. Number three of the characters of those mukhbitin is wal-muqim al-salah, those who establish the prayers. To establish the prayers is to make it a basic standing structure and system in our life. To take it seriously and with reverence. It is a kind of communication with God. It is a connection between us and God. A connection between the servant and his Lord. The needy and the giver. The weak and the powerful. The created and the creator. The mortal and the immortal, the everlasting, the ever-living, the sinner and the forgiver. This is the kind of relation we have with God. Prayers five times a day is a kind of remembrance of God and our commitment to him in submission and obedience. Prayers gets us closer and closer to God. It is a way of ascendance. As the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, الصلاة معراج المؤمن. Prayers is the way of ascending of the believer closer to God. And he said also, أقرب ما يكون العبد إلى ربه وهو ساجد. We are closest to Allah when we are prostrating ourselves in prayers. To establish prayers is to focus as much as you can in what you say and to mean it. To mean what you say in the prayers in humbleness and sincerity. To establish the prayer is to do it in time. And if the prayer is well established, it must reflect on the deeds and the behavior of the person more than it reflects on his appearance. And may Allah bless Umar ibn al-Khattab when he booked someone who was praying while he was bending himself excessively. And he said, إِنَّمَا الْخُشُوعُ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَلَيْسَ فِي ثَنِي الرِّقَابِ. Humbleness in prayer is not in bending yourself, but it is in heart. If the prayers does not stop the person from committing sins and shameful deeds, then the person need to look deeply into his prayers and try to take more serious attention and meaningful attention in his prayers. Because the real establishment of prayers should have some fruits in the behavior of the person. As Allah said, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Indeed, prayers stops the person from committing sins and shameful deeds. My dear brothers and sisters, the fourth character of those mukhbitin deals with the charity, and inshallah we'll address it in the second part of the khutbah. Pray to Allah, may Allah respond to our prayers. الحمد لله أحمده سبحانه وتعالى وأشكره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وتابعيه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the fourth character, like we said, is in charity. And Allah said in the verse, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They spend out of what we have bestowed on them. Number one in the concept of having money and spending it, that money belongs to God, absolutely. Does not belong to us. We are only custodians on that money. As soon as the life ends, the money is not yours. Somebody will come and close the eyes, and the money belongs to somebody else. Government, individuals, children, relatives, it's not yours. You are only a custodian, a trustee on that money. If we don't understand this concept, we may end worshipping the money, like other people. They worship money. But if we understand it's not ours, I'm just a treasurer, I'm a custodian on that money, for a little period of time, and somebody else will handle it. Kings, presidents, millionaires, billionaires, no one have left with the money with you. You'll be lucky to live even with some good deeds. That's number one. Number two, you are rewarded for a good management of your trust. If somebody assigned you to a trust, you are rewarded for handling it right. First, investing it. putting it for right causes. And the owner of the money telling you, cut part of that and give it to the needy and the poor. Who are you to prevent that? If you are employed, you cannot disobey the employer. Allah is the creator, the one who gave you life and gave you the money. He's telling you, cut of it and give it away for the community, for the needy, for the poor. If you don't do that, what kind of a person you are? Then you have to understand this fact. You have to cut part of it, as Allah said, and you will be rewarded for that. Allah said many verses in the Quran to address that issue and point. Number three, don't be arrogant and bragging and trying to show off when you give money. Like I said, it's not yours. Why you brag? Why to try to humiliate the person that you are giving him the money? If you cannot give him money, if you don't have money to give, a good word is a sadaqah. When somebody asks you, never offend him. You don't have, you don't want to give, a good word would be enough. Don't insult the one who asks. It's enough humiliation for a person to ask for sadaqah. Don't increase that injury by your insult. This is important, my brothers and sisters. This is part of our Islamic instructions. Number four, give the charity from the good things that you have. It doesn't mean that you don't give also the leftover or something that's used. If it is useful to somebody else, give that. But don't always target this bad pieces of what you have and give it away. Always tended to give something of the best. But if you have also something to give that's used and can help somebody else, give it. Be a giver. Allah is the absolute giver. And when you take that attribute or touch of that attribute of God and be a giver also, it is a divine feature and divine character. يا أيها الذين آمنوا انفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم ومما أخرجنا لكم من الأرض ولا تيمموا الخبيث منه تنفقون. Don't target those bad pieces, ugly pieces, and give it away because you just want to get it. If it will be useful to someone, give it away. But don't make this as a target. Always target something good to give away. Number five. It is a spiritual achievement to give charity of the thing that you love most, if you can do that. And Allah said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You never achieve that level of birr and taqwa unless you give from something that you really love and dear to you. Even try it one time. Suppress that feeling of keeping it and give at one time even something that's valuable to you. Giving openly is good, but to conceal what you give is better. إِن تُبْدُوا الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّا هِي وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Give to the Muslims and non-Muslims alike. When Muslims migrated to Al-Madinah, they had some poor between them. And when the immigration of the poor increased, the Prophet instructed them to keep their sadaqah to the Muslims. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overruled what the Prophet said and revealed the verse that says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. It is not upon you, the apostle, to grant them guidance, but God guides whomever He pleases. And whatever you, the believers, spend in charity for God's sake, it is for your own good and you will be rewarded in full. So after that, the Prophet instructed them to give to the needy, Muslim or non-Muslim. If you have a neighbor who is in need, and you are a Muslim, he is not Muslim, give. Don't hesitate to give. It is a sadaqah registered with Allah, and it will be in your books. Another thing, if you have a dislike to some person, sometimes the needy is also aggressive and insulting. Don't make that aggressiveness an insult. Dislike him and deprive him from the giving. On the reverse, at that time, give. You are suppressing your ego and you desire to prevent the charity. Give at that time. It happened in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when was the rumor of al-ifk against Aisha radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr and the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and one of the relatives of Abu Bakr, his name Mustah, he said, he shared in that rumor, and Abu Bakr was so angry, and he said, Wallahi la anfa'uhu ba'da thalika abada. I will never help that man. He used to help him with sadaqah. He used to support him because he was a poor man. And Abu Bakr, with his anger, he said, Wallahi la anfa'uhu ba'da thalika abada. I will never help him again. And Allah did not leave that to go without correction. Because if Abu Bakr said it and the Prophet accepted it, then it would be a rule. I hate this, I'm not giving money, as if it's my money. We said to begin with, it is not my money, it is God's money. And came the revelation to tell, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Let not those who have been graced with God's favor and ease of life resolve by oath against helping their kinsmen, the needy, and those who migrated for God's sake, let them overlook and forgive. Don't you like that God forgive you too? And God is oft forgiving, most merciful. After this revelation from God coming in this incident, Abu Bakr repented and he promised never to stop the help to that Mustah, his relative. Forgiving and giving. This is the nature and character of those people who are mukhbiteen. My dear brothers and sisters, Quran, as we said in the beginning, is a divine light. If we open our hearts, open windows to receive that divine light, it will guide us to great principles and ethics and values in this life and lead us in salvation in the hereafter. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah respond to our prayers. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin wa ali bifadlika kalimat al-haq wa al-deen. Allahumma khuth biyadina ila al-khayr wa anabina anishar. واقدر لنا الخير حيث كان. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم خذ بيدنا إلى الخير وانأبنا عن الشر، واقدر لنا الخير حيث كان. وربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأقم الصلاة.